Well, good morning and happy Sabbath to you. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your many blessings that you give us. Thank you for the sunshine and thank you for the fresh air. Now, Lord, as we open your word today, may we find hope and courage in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's sermon title is The Greatest Gift of All. I'm sure we can all look back and remember those Christmas days where others were better than those present or in the past. Maybe some of us are fond of the gifts maybe that we received at one time or another. I can remember as a little boy, one of my favorite Christmas, now that I look back on it, wasn't the gifts I received, but it was the people I was with. And my parents had got me a little car that you had to put batteries in. You know, remember those cars that you put 20 batteries in and they last 5 minutes, and then you go back to the store an hour later and you buy another 20 of, you know, those things, you know. And it was this little car that had a little number keypad with different arrows on it, and basically you program the little car to go whatever direction you want it to, how long, how far, how many turns, and all those things. And boy, it had whistles and sirens and all those things. I just thought that was the greatest little gift, or the greatest gift my parents had got me. And I remember those things, but I think what I remember the most is the people that I was with, the friends and the family, the cousins and the relatives. You know, and some of these things we remember well, and others we tend to want to forget. I don't know about you, but during Christmas season, Christmas time, I like to know what I'm getting for Christmas. My wife doesn't think that's such a good idea, but I do. Boy, you can leave the package wide open. I'd love to look at it for 2 or 3 weeks and be just as happy to open it, or, you know, or to see it all the time. You know, gifts are a fun thing, but if we don't remember what the greatest gift of all is, then we're forgetting really what we're here for. You know, family is always a joy to me. You know, those memorable times that I look back and I remember the fun times, that was when I was with my family most of the time. It wasn't the gifts, you know, it wasn't the things my parents were giving me, it was the things that I already had. And as a young kid, I remember we used to go out every single Sabbath in the afternoon, and we'd go up to the mountains and we'd have a picnic with all of our friends and family members, and we'd go hiking for the rest of the day, you know, and muddling around in the river and catching lizards and snakes. And how I wish you had lizards in New York, because they're a fun thing to catch. You know, you have lizards? I have not. You mean salamanders? That's not a lizard, though. No, it's not. No. See, oh, okay, yes. Salamanders are fun, too, but they're easy to catch. Lizards are scaly, four legs, and they run really fast. And, you know, boy, my dad taught me how to catch lizards, fence lizards, blue-bellied lizards. You take a long piece of grass, and you tie a little noose on the end of it, a little slip knot. And, you know, you get them, maybe they're 4 foot long or so, and you tie a little noose. And the lizards will always let you get so close, you see. And then you take that little loop, and you string it over their head, and they think it's just a piece of grass bumping into them, so they don't move. So you string that little piece of grass, and you pick them right up, and boy, you catch them, and you got yourself a lizard. And I'd love to show my kids that. You know, I just thought that was the greatest fun, you know, and I used to press my friends, watch me catch this lizard. You'll never catch it, you know, and it's so simple. You know, we'd get out there, we'd catch rattlesnakes and all kinds of fun stuff. You know, those are the things that I remember. Not, you know, it wasn't the gifts or the things that we received, it was always the people and the companions that I were with. And that was family. You know, in Matthew, our scripture reading for today, there's one thing that I think rings true with any season that we're in, whether Christmas time or any other time, is to remember the one greatest gift, and that's Christ. Now, we can't equate Jesus with temporal gifts, trust me. But he is the greatest gift of all, amen? And I want to remind us and remember that if we offer anything, we offer Jesus to anybody, because that is our greatest gift. You know, our scripture reading today, I love this verse in verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and you shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That, friends, is a power-packed verse. Amen. full of insight and information to God's desire to have a relationship and companionship with you. Amen? That is truly the greatest gift of all, that God was wrapped in humanity. Now, keep your finger there and turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 6 and onwards. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ did what? He died for the ungodly." Now, who are the ungodly? Oh boy, everybody raises their hands. I'm surprised. I thought we were perfect, right? Righteous people, all those things. Ungodly. He died for the ungodly. He goes on to say here, for a righteous man will one die. In other words, you know, some are tempted, you know, there's possibility that one would be willing to die for another person, especially if it's a good person. But how many of you would be willing to, you know, I know we know the answer to this, but how many of you would be willing to put your life down for a scurvy person, a not so nice person, things like this? You know, we would be willing to lay down our lives for somebody who's good and maybe moral and has been treated me nice and so forth. But notice the context of this scripture. He goes on to say, "Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." You know, we would dare to die for somebody that's good. But what is the contrast here? He's telling us is that we're all ungodly. And yet Christ died for the ungodly. He goes on to say here, "But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners." Amen. That's not good news that we're sinners, but praise the Lord. While we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. And then he goes on to say, "Much more than being now justified by his" what? "By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were yet enemies, we were" what? "Reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by" his what? "His life." Friend, these are so wonderful. These verses are powerful. And that is, life eternal has been given to you while you are yet a sinner. In other words, I think what the Bible writer is trying to get across is here, what we didn't deserve, God gave to us. We didn't deserve eternal life. We did not deserve, you know, maybe a second chance, if you will. We didn't deserve that. Why? The moment that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, the forbidden fruit they weren't supposed to eat of, what happened? Sin passed from generation to generation to generation, and we're told and counseled that the sin of mankind only got worse and worse and worse as each generation passed by. So we're really a lot worse off than when we first left Eden's home. So Christ goes on, the Bible goes on to say, telling us about Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he says, "For if we were enemies..." What is an enemy? Somebody that's opposing another person. Somebody that has a barrier between another person. While you were yet enemies. While, in other words, do we typically go around talking to our enemies? No, we don't. Do we typically go around having friendship and lunch with our enemies? No. We're opposition with the person. We're opposition with the other person or the individual or the party or whatever. I hope that's not the case. I hope we don't have enemies in our church especially. But enemies, those that stay separate. And yet the Bible says, while we were yet enemies, Christ died. While we were opposing God, while we were rebelling against God, God died for us. And friends, this is mighty. "For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." We were brought back into a position where we can come into a relationship with God the Father, with the God of the universe, where once before we did not have. Is that good news? Yes or no? That is wonderful news that man should have an opportunity once again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His what? We shall be saved by His what? His life. So now we go back to Matthew chapter 1. And Matthew chapter 1 sums up for us, I believe, this verse, Emmanuel, God with us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ came to this world, and the word Emmanuel meaning God with us. God with us. God with us. Not only does He tell us that He loves us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He commendeth His love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. I like this verse, that verse, because he says, God commendeth His love towards us. He doesn't just step back and say how much He loves us. He does something about the relationship. Now, if I go around telling my wife that I love her all the time, and behind her back I'm cheating on her and calling her names and stuff like that, does that have any value? Absolutely not. My love for my wife is revealed in how I treat her and respect her and talk about her and all those things. In my actions. And so God commendeth His love towards us while we're yet sinners. You see, it wasn't enough for God to stand back and say how much I love you. Now God enters into the arena and He puts Himself into the arena of the fallen race, and God becomes flesh and dwells among us. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, the greatest gift that God could give to humanity was not things or pleasure, but to give us the Son. To give us Jesus. For without Jesus, what do we have? Nothing. So the greatest gift that has been passed down to us is Christ. And I want to challenge us, you know, this season to share Jesus, because, you know, quote unquote, whether we like it or not, some people are thinking Christ's birth, others are not, you know, what to say and how to say it. But we can offer Jesus, can't we? We can tell others about Jesus. The hope of my salvation, the hope of eternal life, the hope that we have that God should dwell amongst us. God with us. You see, it wasn't now, this is fascinating too, because it wasn't enough that God stands back and He dies for us, but now He gives us a little picture of what He wants to accomplish. God with us. God wants to dwell with His people. God wants to dwell with His children. God wants to dwell with you and I. You see, we see a relationship that now God wants to have with humanity. He's not some God who, you know, sits up there on the throne looking down and wants nothing to do with His children, but He wants an intimate relationship with you and I. God loves us, yes, but He commended His love towards us by giving us Him in action by going to the cross, showing how much He loved us, or how much He does love us, willing to die to give His life for humanity. Friends, is that not love? Is that not the best gift of all? God wrapped in humanity. That is the greatest gift. Now, in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, He says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus. And what does it say there? For He shall save His people from what? He shall. Not maybe, not if, but He shall. If we are His people, God will save us from our sins. Amen? That is the greatest gift that God could offer to humanity, a resolution to the problem, a solution to the problem that God should save His people from their sins. We do not have to live in the burden. We do not have to live in eternity under the guilt and the penalty of sin. Why? Because Jesus, friends, went to the cross and died for us there on Calvary. So that you and I can have a one-on-one relationship with the God of the universe. And what's really fascinating about this, as we keep looking, is that God wants to have a personal one-on-one relationship with you. He wants you to come in and have a covenant relationship with Him. And how can we do that? Well, simple. Bible study, prayer, and things like that. But we can come in contact with Him. and we can experience Him. Now, what will God do for us? They shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The blessed hope for you and I, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? To cleanse us. To cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. How many of you have had, you don't have to raise your hands, but I mean, think now. You know, how many of you have had nagging sins or temptations lingering around in your life? You know, they seem to kind of follow you around. You don't know your, you know yourself better than anybody else knows yourself, knows you. I don't know how I'm trying to say this, but you know yourself better than anybody else. You know the true condition of the heart. You really know the nature of your being. You know the problems in your life, especially as we're coming closer and drawing closer to Jesus. We're going to see more of the inadequacies in our life, the negatives in our lives, and we're going to see more of the sinfulness of our lives. And so we go around this life, and we can either be moping around discouraged, or we can be hopeful because Christ takes away what? Our sins. God takes them away. See, this is the wonderful miracle for you and I. The greatest gift of all is that Christ would come to save His people. You see, we can have the hope of salvation, all of us. The hope of eternal life. That hope can be in us today. Don't have to wait till tomorrow. Even though we may be discouraged. You know, I was listening to the radio yesterday. I was driving down the road someday this week. And this guy got on the radio and said something, how to forgive yourself. And I thought, what a joke. We can't forgive ourselves. If we could forgive ourselves, we could get to heaven. But see, the very fact that we cannot forgive ourselves, and I know what he's trying to get across here, and that is, you know, if God can forgive us of our sins and our past, then we need to learn to forgive us ourselves of our past and sins and so forth. And Heidi was sharing with me the other morning about and the story of redemption towards the end of, was it Paul's life, right? Peter's life. Yeah, he had a hard time forgiving him, quote unquote, forgiving himself for how he denied Jesus. You see, we cannot forgive ourselves. If we could, Christ wouldn't have had to die. And yes, I understand what he's trying to get across, that we need to let go, you know, but we cannot forgive ourselves. Only Jesus can forgive us. Amen? We may have to live with the penalty and the struggles of the results of our decisions, but we know we can have our assurance that in Christ, if Christ takes away our sins, then we are truly forgiven. Amen? That is the hope of salvation, that you and I can have an eternal relationship with the God of the universe. What is His name? Jesus! He shall save His people from their what? Their sins. There's not one sin in your life that Jesus cannot forgive. Praise the Lord. Amen? Not one sin that God cannot forgive. Emmanuel, God with us. That God should come to this world, wrapped in humanity, wrapped in flesh, and give Himself as a free gift, as an offering. God showed His love to us by going to the tree, by dying on the cross, so that you can have eternal life. The greatest gift of all, friends, is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The greatest gift to humanity. If we have not Christ, then we have nothing. Because Jesus is our source of salvation. I don't know about you, but I want to stand on the city streets of gold. I want to stand around the tree of life. I want to partake of that fruit and eat of those leaves. I want to be in the presence of God, but we can. You see, Paul said, I have that hope within me. I know that I have a crown that is awaiting. You see, Paul looked forward, even though he looked in the present circumstances of his life, and he says, I am a chief of sinners. Yet he found his hope where? In Christ. You see, when Paul said, that what I don't want to do and that what I hate, I end up doing, he goes on down to say, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me? And he looks at himself and he finds himself filled with guilt, filled with shame and remorse. Now, Paul, if he ought to know about salvation and forgiveness, Paul should have put this away. But I am sure that Paul was wrestling. Can you imagine putting Christians to death, killing them and destroying them in the name of God. And Paul makes the statement, I am the chief of sinners. A Pharisee of a Pharisee. I am a chief of sinners. If Paul understood salvation, you see, why didn't Paul just say, I forgive myself? He knew that his salvation was wrapped up in Christ. And he was able to summarize his hope in this. Praise God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. This, friends, is our hope. The greatest gift of all is Jesus. Romans chapter 7, our hope. I want to challenge us today and this week. If, you know, every year that goes by and people make these crazy resolutions they're in, make these changes, friends, come to Christ. Come as you are. Come to the foot of the cross of Calvary. Reveal your sins to Him. Acknowledge your shame. Acknowledge your guilt. And Christ says, I will carry you. He will carry us through. And we have the story of the great shepherd that goes and finds that little lamb that was lost, puts him upon his shoulders, comes back to his friends and his family, and says, rejoice with me, for I have found the one that was lost. God, friends, wants to save you more than you want to save yourself. So why don't you today come to the foot of the cross of Calvary? And in this Christmas season, time of giving and receiving, don't forget the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus. Father in heaven, it is a privilege that we have to come into your house of worship. And Father, we can be fond of all the gifts that we may give or receive, but the greatest gift of all is you, Jesus. And today, Lord, I invite your presence to dwell richly amongst us. I know, Lord, that many of us have made a commitment to serve and to follow you. We have come to you and to find forgiveness for our sins and the iniquities that we suffer from. But I pray today, Lord, that once again we will renew our commitment to you, asking you, Jesus, to take care of our lives, to be in us and to live out your life through us, to forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, and our failures, that you would heal us as a people to prepare us for your soon return. May we, Lord, live in the present time of anticipation of your return, but help us, Lord, to take our time to not only to serve you, but to take time for others to share the wonderful good news of salvation found in Jesus. And so today, Lord, we praise you, and we thank you for giving us your life, thanking you, Father in heaven, that you would give us your Son, Jesus, that you may dwell amongst us, that you may live a life near us, so that we can see the glory of God. And so today we thank you for the greatest sacrifice of all, for all man, for all history, you have given us Jesus. Today, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this life. In Christ's name, amen.